Hey, football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown in the game, but his teammate scores instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you a second chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. With BetMGM's second chance offer, you have a chance to keep the fun going after the first player crosses the goal line. Try a first TD score wager with confidence today. BetMGM, make it legendary. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This specific promotional offer is not available in Mississippi, Pennsylvania, Puerto Rico, or Ontario. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 for New York. 1-800-NEXT-STEP for Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 for Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-ALL for Iowa. 1-800-981-0023 for Puerto Rico. Existing customer offer. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards paid back and unrestricted withdrawable funds. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Today on Bucko Banner, we discuss this week's spring training games and the spring breakout game. Let's get into it.
Rocking 101, she compliment my taste. Whiskey in my lemonade, cause I like the way it tastes. Best seats at the Pirates game, they let me run the base. Yeah, my time is like my money, cause I can't afford to waste. Wifey is a lawyer, take my date to my dates. Order steak by the plates, and then case after case. Run my race at my pace, clear the grass of the snake.
Sure, we're here. I am tired. It's 11 o'clock on Thursday. And we just got back to our Airbnb and we're recording. We've been up since 5 a.m. At least I have.
My body is destroyed.
Yeah, I mean, we've ate terribly today.
Let's run everybody through this awesome day that we've had.
I don't think we want to talk about everything we've eaten today. I think I'd be pretty
No. The people need to know how we've treated ourselves. We woke up at 5, went to the airport. Had Chick-fil-A right when we got to the airport. Go to the Airbnb, drop our stuff off. It's not ready. Get in the car, go right to Wendy's.
We just wanted to get to the ballpark, okay?
So airport to Airbnb, drop the stuff off there for 2 minutes, get in the car, Wendy's, get some chicken nuggies, some burgers, some fries, drive to the ballpark. Get there, walking around, watch the first game, eat a smash burger at the first game.
Smash burger. Wait, let's back up for a second. I told you at one point, I looked at you and I said, you know, I just realized we're going to have to eat dinner here because we're here all day. They're from like 1 to 9.
Right. Well, we're about to talk about it, but we were at the ballpark from 2 o'clock to 9:30, 10.
Yeah, easily.
So we had to eat all of our meals there. Had a burger at the game, left the ballpark, and it was pretty late. So as one does when it's late, we go to Taco Bell.
Waited in line forever.
Waited in line at Taco Bell.
We also went to Walgreens to get caffeine, so we're caffeinated at 11 o'clock.
Both of us chugged energy drinks at 11 o'clock.
We need to be up anymore. You know, it's been an eventful day.
Energy drinks, Taco Bell. I feel bad for whoever has to clean this place when we leave. It's not going to be a pretty sight.
It's getting kind of graphic.
Dude, I could already feel it coming. We've just treated our bodies so terribly. But today was really fun.
Yeah, it was. Let's get to the positives.
This
isn't all about us. We're sacrificing our bodies for the Pirates.
Today was great. We got to the ballpark. We saw two baseball games, a major league game, spring breakout game. The vibes were great. Fans all over the place. Tons of Orioles fans, tons of Pirates fans, tons of people just watching baseball. It was a great day. I enjoyed it. I went to spring training last year just for one game. I didn't get, you know, it was fun, but being able to sit there and watch both games back to back was such a cool experience.
No, it was a fun day. Saw a lot of baseball, obviously. Got to see a lot of people, which was cool. Ran into some cool people, got to meet. You know, Jason Mackey, and others around the Pirates. It was a fun day, and Lecom Park is beautiful. So it was a great place to be on a day like today.
Yeah, a lot of networking.
Yeah.
A lot of networking between watching some good baseball. But there was some games this week that we did not see in person. We last recorded on Monday. There was games on Tuesday and Wednesday before we got to Bradenton on Thursday. Tuesday, March 12th, we played the Braves, 5-1 Pirates. Chase Anderson was on the bump to start the game. Three innings pitched, 1K. Saw another cruise missile. He's on fire.
Yeah, he, you know, Cruz is, I'm just ready for the season to start because he's getting me really excited. And what was this one, like 125,000 miles an hour off the bat or something?
Yeah, the ball hasn't landed yet.
Yeah,
he's so good.
Chase Anderson looked good too, by the way.
Yeah. Was that his first start?
I think first start wasn't his first appearance, though.
Right.
Yeah.
No, overall, good outing. We had a Cruz bomb. We had a Sawinski bomb over the boardwalk and right. And we had a Billy McKinney bomb as well.
Listen, the Sawinski bomb, there, that's cool, I guess. Have you seen him try to gritty?
Oh, my God.
some untapped talent right there.
Talents, yeah. I'll call it talent. That's one word for it.
But no,
Scott Bill, yeah.
I was just going to say, Billy McKinney has looked pretty good this spring, too. He's a potential depth bat for the team this year.
Yeah, he's hit well. He hit well today, too. We had another game the next day against the Blue Jays, dropped 10-3. This is the one we're going to focus on a little bit more before we get into why we're here in Bradenton. If you've listened to the episodes from day one, we've been big Roansy Contreras believers. We think everybody's given up on him a lot. People gave up on Mitch Keller. Look at him now.
He was my pick to click.
Right. Scott's pick to click. And each episode we've kind of coped a little bit, tried to justify some things, focus on the positives. I don't think he's going to make the team.
Unfortunately, he's out of options. So the Pirates have some tough decisions to make. And
so it makes you think, it's like, all right, the velo was up before, but the control wasn't there. So maybe he's trying to dial it back, which maybe I would get if you're working on executing certain pitches and honing in on the demand. But when your velocity is now down a couple of ticks, and you just can't control the baseball, I don't know what to say, man. It's sad because the stuff and the talent is there. I don't know if this is a classic Pirates failed to develop a guy or he's just going through his own issues, but there was an open competition and he's losing it.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. Like, you know, he's basically going into the season like, unless I'm really bad, I'm going to make this team because I have to.
Right.
And he's not earning it. So sad to see. You know, I thought we wrote him off too quickly, as I said. You know, we'll see what he does in his next few starts, appearances. But right now, it's not trending in the right direction.
Not only did Rose struggle in this game, Majinski struggled as well.
Yeah,
2/3 of an inning pitched, 3 hits, 5 earned runs, 2 walks. Not going to talk too much about it. It wasn't a good outing. He has a spot on this roster. We know he has incredible stuff. As Bednar described it, a demon sinker. he is gross. He just didn't have a good outing. But in positive news, the bats again.
Yeah.
We're alive and well. And here, we'll do like the, you know, like the, guessing game. Who hit a home run today, Scott?
Oh, boy. I don't know. O'Neal Cruz. Ding, 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 ding.
Yeah.
This one was, I saw the clip of it. It was up in Dunedin. This game was in Dunedin, right? Yeah. Crushed, of course. You know, as
the funny part is, it was opposite the field, and the look on his face was like, "I just popped this ball up."
Yeah, no, you just you.
But it was hit hard. Yeah, I mean, and it still got out. We said that the over under on his home run total is 22.5.
He's going to crush that. I would put my life savings on that.
I wouldn't be surprised if that line is moved.
Yeah, get it while you can.
It might be up to 23, 24 at this point, which if he's hitting that many home runs, it's going to be a great year. Speaking of home runs, the guy who's hit a ton this spring, Henry Davis, almost had another one. Double off the top of the wall. Wasn't hit hard. I believe it was 88 miles per hour. He knew it wasn't getting out off the bat, but still got a good piece of it. I mean, it hit off like the very, very top of the wall.
Opposite field too, right?
The Davis one?
Yeah.
No, he pulled this one.
He pulled this one. Okay.
He pulled this one. But good piece of hitting. Continues to impress. He all but has that spot secured. I saw an interesting interview. I don't remember who was asking the questions, but it was kind of going back to the Davis-Grandal debate, who's going to start. Shelton still wouldn't give a direct answer. They love dancing around these questions.
Yeah, a lot of teams do this.
It's like, unless, like, I feel like the only, if you ask them, like, hey, who's playing third base? It's like, yeah, Key is there. Who's playing short? Cruz. Who's playing left? Reynolds. But like any slight competition, or if we're going into the opening day where there's multiple guys playing one position, they're not willing to give you a definite answer when I think this one deserves to be pretty clear cut.
Agreed. I thought Shelty's language was a little bit softened on it, where he said that Davis has surely impressed him this spring, but he didn't wouldn't go as far to say that he has a job, obviously. But in our eyes, he has a job and he should have the job.
Yeah, there's no way. There's absolutely no chance he doesn't secure that job, especially with Grandal being out. We're about 2 weeks now. Well, exactly 2 weeks from opening day.
Yeah, we saw him sitting on the ground in the bullpen today while Marco was warming up and Davis was catching. I don't know what's the diagnosis for Grandal again?
I think it's a foot injury.
Plantar fasciitis or something like that.
Right.
Something like that. I don't know. But foot problem or not, Davis should be the starting catcher.
100% agree. Not much else in this game. Our boy Gilberto Celestino got a hit. Not sure where he's going to end up. CSN got sent down last week or a couple days ago. I was completely wrong. I wasn't 100% on it, but I just said the Pirates, if you look at the history of things, guys like CSN tend to make the opening day roster by impressing in spring. He did play really well. Hats off to him, but don't think he's the right fit right now with the pieces that we have in the outfield. There's a ton of outfielders.
Yeah.
Between Reynolds, Sawinski, Palacios, Olivares, Celestino, Connor Joe. I guess G1 Bay's somewhat in that mix.
Yeah.
CSN being a lefty bat doesn't really place well, especially when you're looking for a guy that should be able to hit lefties.
No, I agree. I think Celestino will be, I think we'll see him in Pittsburgh, even if it's not on the opening day roster. I think we'll probably see him at some point this year. I hope we do.
Yeah. Again, reward guys for playing well. So still some games left, but we will see how things pan out. But let's get into the real reason we're here in Bradenton. To watch some baseball. The one game that we did see in person was today, the 14th versus the Orioles, the big league spring training game. The Orioles won 5-2. Biggest takeaway from this game is Marco Gonzalez finally had a very solid outing.
Yeah. He went deep too. What? Five innings pitched, one hit, four Ks. His bread and butter, long ABs, forcing weak contact, just keeping guys uncomfortable at the plate.
Yeah, besides one shaky third inning, where I think both those walks might have come in that inning. He got out of it. He gave up a run that inning, but for the most part, he was keeping guys off balance. His changeup looked gross today. I mean, guys were just looking silly. Santander, Rutschman, Gunner, all fooled pretty badly.
Was it Rutschman that was out of his shoes on the one changeup?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was gross.
Yeah, he looked really good. If he could pitch like that.
He was sitting more 89 to 90, I think. I saw him reach back for like 91 at one point. I looked at you and I was like, that looks like he reached back for a little bit on that one, and then it was just 1 mile an hour faster.
Right.
But Marco looked good. It's definitely encouraging.
I'm glad they let him go five, because after four, I thought.
Yeah, we thought he was done.
He was done for the day. He looked good up until that point. They let him go out again, and he pitched well. It's a little bit of a confidence boost for a guy who hasn't played so well. And we've been questioning whether or not he's actually going to have a long tenure in Pittsburgh. But
yeah, absolutely.
Good for Marco. Leadoff double by Connor Joe in the first inning. Key Bryant had a hard hit RBI, was out at first base on a fielder's choice. Runner scored. Didn't have any hits today, but continues to hit the ball very hard.
Yeah, he hit the ball pretty hard. I think it was Connor Joe who was able to score on that.
Right.
Some hard hit balls in this game, which was encouraging to see, even though the outcome was not in our favor.
Right. Henry Davis didn't have any hits today. I honestly don't even know if he put the ball in play today. He might have had a weak ground ball, but the most impressive part about Davis today wasn't him hitting a long ball, hitting the ball hard, but working deep into counts.
I'll tell you what, Grayson Rodriguez was throwing some gas, sitting like 96 to 98, and there were pitches that, from our angle at least, looked like they were pretty close, and he was laying off all of them, and he took two walks. I mean, the bats were very impressive.
Really, really impressive. He knows when to take that big swing. When he's in hitter's counts, he can let it rip and absolutely go for it. I'm all for that. But he's laying off speed out of the zone, which he would look foolish on last year. He's battling. And he's taking, you know, the more pitches you throw to him, the more likely you're going to get a fastball that you're going to make a mistake on.
Yeah.
So really, really, really impressive. He looked good behind the plate. Nothing noticeable, which when you're talking catchers, the more you talk about a catcher behind the plate, it's more likely he probably did something wrong.
Yeah.
So if we're not really talking about his defense, all is good. Chapman pitched in this game, 1-2-3 inning.
Do we need to go there? I mean, we shouldn't be laughing.
I'm not laughing because it's funny.
Yeah,
we
all know why Chapman was trending this week, and it's weird. Obviously, I feel like I don't need to state the obvious, but
if you don't know, I'll just say this: we're not going to talk about it for legal reasons.
Yeah, there we go.
If just you don't know,
don't search his name.
Well,
I mean, if you're a sicko, go right ahead.
Definitely do not type in Aroldis Chapman mom.
Don't type that in.
Don't look it up. Definitely wasn't a highlight of the week. But he looked good on the mound.
He did.
He looked really good. Pretty quick inning. Had a hard hit ball into the gap. I believe it was Adley. But Reynolds made a pretty exceptional catch going to his glove side. Got out of the inning fairly quickly after that. Ended on a weak ground ball back to him, underhand to first base. Brucky came in after, looked all right. There was an error committed at shortstop and then kind of fell apart. One inning pitch, two hits, four runs, three earned, one walk, one K. Was it Stowers that hit the home run?
We were out on the boardwalk, like just going up the steps, and this ball cleared the boardwalk easily. Like it was definitely on the backfield. He crushed it. He's known for his big pop.
I mean, it had to go 415 plus easily.
Easily. It was right center.
Yeah, the ball was crushed. The only other note I have on this game, we really haven't talked about this guy too often because there really hasn't been much to say. Rowdy Tellez kind of looks lost.
Yeah, he does. He doesn't really have a plan at the plate, I guess. He's just, I don't know.
There's no plan.
Free swinging.
We were all kind of confused of why we brought him in the first place.
Yeah.
You know, there's power potential from the left side. Carlos Santana was out there. Can't talk about it anymore. He's not on the Pirates. You got to go with what you got. But you're the one thing you're banking on this guy to do is hit the long ball.
Yeah.
And the approach looks just awful.
Yeah.
For a guy like that, he should just be his body is completely moving forward. He's completely off balance. He's not taking good swings. He hits the ball hard. Today he did not. I just don't think, I mean, the defense is not, you know, anything special.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he's not going to hit for average. So you count on him to hit a ton of home runs. And if you don't get that from him, what's the use of, you know, trotting him out there every single day?
Yeah, I don't know. I think we've said this before and I'll say it again, but we would have loved to see Carlos Santana back with this team. I don't know. I don't think it's too far-fetched to say that maybe Triolo is the everyday first baseman at some point, or I don't know. There's some names out there that are coming up that look pretty good. Just saying.
There is a name. System.
Yeah.
There's a couple names. J.D. Davis got released.
Yeah. Well, externally, yes. I'm talking internally, but yes, J.D. Davis makes a ton of sense.
Internally, though, there are some guys that could possibly fill that spot that are going to start in the minors, but we know what's going to happen. He's going to start, and it's going to take about a month or two before we figure out what's going on. And then a decision's going to have to be made based on how the season's going. But I didn't get it when we made the move. I don't get it now. It's extremely underwhelming. I'm just not a fan. I also just don't think he fits with this team. He seems like a great guy. He might be like a good locker room guy to have. He's a veteran, but I don't know, man. Like, I don't see it.
Hopefully we're wrong because,
we've never been wrong. That's the thing.
Never been
wrong.
He is our opening day first baseman. So,
yeah. So fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed.
I just don't see it. That is up until the point of the spring breakout game. We're going to take a break there. We're going to come back with our thoughts, analysis, what we saw, what we liked, what we didn't like. So,
all right. Let's do it. I can't wait to talk about
that. Stick with us and we'll be right back.
All righty. Let's do it. Spring breakout game, man. It was fun. First off, let's just say the atmosphere was pretty cool. I think this is a really cool, neat event that MLB is starting, and we were at the inaugural game. I think there was one out west too, Cincinnati and someone else. But still, we were at the inaugural spring breakout game between two of the best farm systems in the league. It's a preview of the 2025 World Series, Pirates Orioles. And we got to see, there was a lot of people there that we ran into and got to talk to. And we got to see Paul Skene's bullpen up close. It was pretty cool.
Really, really cool. Long day at the park, but walking around, seeing all those familiar faces. You got players walking around on the boardwalk. We ran into Luis Ortiz.
Mm-hmm.
Totally left Scott out to dry.
Yeah, I did. That was
Scott went up to him and was like, yeah.
Well, I made like a last second like commitment to a fist bump, and it was like, yeah.
He was already gone.
Yeah, he was gone.
He was way gone. Yeah, it was. But Ortiz was there. You got a bunch of minor leaguers sitting in the stands. MLB Network was there. Got to chop it up with Jonathan Mayo for a little bit.
Yeah. Ellie Yinzer.
fellow Yinzer. Mackie, we spoke with from the Post Gazette. The Bat Boys were there. If you haven't seen the Bat Boys, they have great content where they go around to different ballparks. They have a good YouTube channel. Got to talk to them a little bit. Really fun. Also tried to talk to some people ourselves.
Yeah, that went really well. Let me tell you something, man. That was, went up to a couple people and didn't want to answer, want to be interacted with, didn't want to be asked questions.
So yeah,
harder than we thought.
Yeah, the plan was we bought these mini mics, pretty cool. You could stand far away, really clear. Go up to fans. We had some questions. We're like, all right, we have three questions. We'll make a compilation of like all these answers. It'll be really good content. First guy we go up to, just flat out, no.
Yeah, no. Nah.
Just no, no. Like kind of like almost like as if we were walking up to him and just like coughing all over him and like spitting at him. He's just like, I don't want anything to do with these people. Just walked away. It's like, didn't even get a response about like, hey, what is this for? What is, no, just absolutely not. So we're like, all right, he was a little bit of an older guy.
Yeah.
Maybe he doesn't get it. So we're walking down the boardwalk and we see probably a kid, what, in his like 18 to
teens. Yeah, probably
18 to 20.
Decked out in pirate gear.
City Connect hat.
Yep.
City Connect shirt. He might have had pirate shorts on, like black and gold head to toe. So we're like, yeah, this kid obviously loves the Pirates, right? Yeah. They don't even sell City Connect gear at the park.
Yeah, at Leecom now.
Yeah. So he didn't get it there. It's like, I go up to him and he's like looking down on the backfield in the batting cages. I'm like, hey man, like you waiting for anybody? He said, no. I'm like, all right, like, hey, we have a Pirates podcast. We're doing some fan interaction stuff. Do you want to like talk to us? Just looks me right in the eyes and goes, I'm not a Pirates fan.
Fooled me, brother.
Yeah.
Fooled me.
I'm like, well, you're wearing all Pirate stuff. He goes, yeah, I know. He's like, but you got the wrong guy.
Yeah. He's like, I'm from Toronto or something like that. Like,
he's like, I'm from Canada.
Yeah. All right.
So, all right. At that point, it's kind of game over. We got to come up with a whole new strategy on how to go about this.
Yeah. Because
it's
maybe we don't ask. We just go up with a mini mic and be like, all right, we're here with so-and-so.
Just go right into it. Yeah. Because people are not very receptive to people approaching them with a microphone.
Yeah. Yeah. Harder than we thought.
In my head, it went a lot differently.
Yeah.
Maybe it goes better at PNC Park.
Is it just Florida people?
Yeah, we'll say that.
Probably, right?
It's Florida people.
Well, but, yeah. Anyways, we tried. We made some great connections. So I think today was a very successful day. We, like you said, we got to talk to Jonathan Mayo. We talked to Jason Mackey and the Bat Boys. It was a good day, regardless. So
really was. And we got to watch the top prospects play against the Orioles top prospects. And the moment we had been waiting for a long, long time was watching Paul Skeens throw an inning.
Yeah.
And man, what an inning it was.
First of all, let's talk about his bullpen. Like there was people just all around watching his bullpen. And I don't know. He walked in that bullpen with like this swagger to him. Like, I'm the guy. Like,
yeah,
it was his presence was felt. And then he gets out there on the mound. And I'll tell you what, man, seeing him in person is even more impressive than watching him online or on TV. Well,
here's the thing. On TV, you know, you see the numbers 101, 102, but it looks so effortless. Like his throwing motion, it doesn't really look like he's, exerting a lot of energy. When you see it in person, that 101, 102 legitimately looks like 110.
110 easily. Like, I'll tell you what, man, it was like night and day, like from watching Marco pitch to seeing him pitch, it was like, is this the same league?
It's another level.
Yeah.
I don't care if he hasn't thrown a major league game. He is scary good.
He could be successful in the majors right now. Right now. I mean, no question about it.
No. The Pirates did not do us justice today because they decided to do this little thing where every prospect that came up in the first inning, they put like a profile of them on the scoreboard, and they were not showing the radar gun.
For his inning, right?
Yeah, for only his inning, they did not show the radar gun. So I'm sitting there.
On Twitter.
Yeah, we had to go on Twitter, and it was like 101, 102. I don't know, he might have hit 103. But he might as well have been throwing 200 miles per hour.
Yeah.
When you're sitting there, because it just, the ball flies out of his arm. He struck out, was it Enrique Bradwell?
Enrique Bradfield Jr. Bradfield, he struck out, and then Jackson Holliday. He had Jackson Holliday swinging out of his shoes. And right. Jackson Holliday was quoted after the game saying it looked like he was throwing 110.
Yeah. He got him on a gross changeup too.
I want to read a quote of Paul Skenes in the postgame that Jason Mackey posted. He said, we're going to be good for a while. The first wave of guys that are going to go up, they're going to be really good. Then we have a stockpile of guys who are going to come up. I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't think we realize how good we are. I am going to locate the nearest brick wall to run through. He's Shore standing up, clapping right now.
Let's go!
That's my captain. That's my guy. That's my ace.
Paul Skenes should throw every single game.
Yeah. He really should.
It's so refreshing to see someone like him in the organization. And we'll get into the other guys that looked really impressive as well. And as Skenes said, I mean, there's guys on top of guys that are going to come up and impress. I think we're a little skeptical as Pirates fans because we've heard this before where you have all these prospects and then nothing works out. But my God, man, I could have left after that inning. I mean, the rest of the game was good, but I could have left after that inning and been completely satisfied.
100%. 100%. As much as I want to talk about Skenes all night, we should talk about, you know, let's go into some of the other arms that we saw tonight, starting with Braxton Ashcraft. Braxton Ashcraft, one inning pitched, no hits. One earned run, two walks, two Ks, only 13 strikes out of 26 pitches thrown. Lighting up the gun, but the command was a little bit shaky. I think that's kind of been his MO, right?
Right. He overall, he looked good.
Yeah.
You're sitting 97, 98. I think he was struggling a little bit today with the off speed, but again, sitting upper 90s, I think we see Ashcraft this year.
Yeah, even if it's in a bullpen role.
I think that's what it's going to be. Yeah. And it could be sooner rather than later. I think he might need a little bit of time, but this guy's already gone through a couple of injuries already. Why waste more time on his clock in the minor leagues?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, I don't see why we need to prolong his development here. We get him up to the majors. And I think the most impressive thing I saw today was him ringing up Kobe Mayo on a 90-mile-an-hour slider. Like, just disgusting. Tough look for the Orioles to see Skenes and then Ashcraft back to back. Tell you that much.
Yeah, two flamethrowers, and I mean Ashcraft throwing hard. Skenes was sitting in the hundreds.
Yeah.
So take it for what it is, but really good stuff from Ashcraft. The next guy we saw was Hunter Barco. Let him throw two innings, one hit, one K. University of Florida guy, so he's the worst. Sitting low 90s, got up to 94 in the second inning, 16 pitches, 12 strikes. Got out of a little bit of a jam on a nice double play by Jack Brannigan.
That was a sick play, man.
Yeah, real. Jack Brannigan played a really solid third base today.
Mm-hmm.
But Hunter Barco looked good.
low three quarter slot lefty. Comes from a weird arm angle.
Right. He's also a Tommy John guy.
Yeah.
So I think there's going to be a little bit more development for a guy coming out of college, more than normal with him, but promising stuff from Barco today as well. And then a really, really interesting one after Barco. Anthony Solometto was scratched from this game with the flu. Someone we mentioned before in our highlights last week, someone we were really looking forward to seeing. You kind of heard it everywhere we were walking around the ballpark too. They're like, can't wait to watch Solometto pitch. And I like felt obligated to like turn around and be like,
did you not get the memo?
I'm so sorry. And I like put like my hand on their shoulder. Today's not the day. Yeah, it's going to be okay. Unfortunately, we did not get to see Solometto today, but Christian Curtis.
Wow.
Yeah, wow is the right word because this was the first time he was on the mound as a pro in the prospect game. We did not know that until after the game. We were talking to Jonathan Mayo from MLB Network.
Who loves this guy. He was a big fan of this arm.
He said would be a top 30 arm easily. Right?
Yeah. Yep.
If he had the sample size.
Absolutely.
But he looked really good.
Yeah, he bounced around a little bit in college. It was A&M and Arizona State. So he was actually a draft pick last year, a 12th round pick. Maybe fell due to injury or something. I think he's just been
Tommy
out.
John. Tommy John. Yeah.
Yeah. But man, he got it up there. What? He was up to like 95, sitting 95.
Yeah, this he was pumping it, man.
This is an arm I think that we're going to see on list next year. I'm just saying.
Really, really impressive stuff to come out on short notice and perform like he did in that type of setting against some of the best prospects in baseball. The off-speed stuff looked really good too. Hopefully we get to talk more about Christian Curtis this year.
Yeah, I'm excited to see where he gets assigned and follow him along with a lot of these arms like Patrick Riley. Patrick Riley was a Vanderbilt guy and at Vandy struggled with command. He always had the stuff. So that's really the thing for him is if he's throwing strikes or not. But tonight he was struck out the side, one inning pitch, up to 97, plus slider. The stuff is legit. Is he going to throw strikes? That's the question.
Always count on the stuff.
Yeah.
For a young guy, you could deal with the control issues for a decent amount of times while you're working through the minors, but 97 with the plus slider looked unhittable tonight.
Yeah. Yeah, he did. He was legit. I was really impressed with him. I remember watching that Vandy, he'd struggle here and there in SEC play, but I don't know. This is an arm that hopefully the Pirates development group is taking advantage of and getting them in the right direction. Lastly, we had Bubba Chandler come in to earn the save, one inning pitch, 1K. I think this arm has the second most upside below Skeens. He only threw 13 pitches, was on one inning of work, but man, he's just so athletic. We know he was quarterback commit to Clemson, and I think these guys that are athletic on the mound are more prone to making adjustments and really figuring it out. And I think he's going to. He was sitting 96 and 98 tonight.
Hit a guy at 98.
Yeah, I felt bad for that guy.
You could hear it. It was. Yeah. It took him a minute. I think he came out of the game. So I hope he's okay. But man, the ball jumps out of his hand. I think we've only talked really about his changeup when we discuss Bubba Chandler because it's so good. Mm-hmm. But, then he has the fastball, sits 96, 98. It looks a lot faster than that.
Yeah. It has jump. It has a lot of rise. It pops and it generates a lot of whiffs. That's a big thing, man. He's going to be a strikeout guy. And he's someone that people in Pittsburgh should be just as excited for as they are for Skeens.
Yeah, it was kind of confusing because the game ended after Chandler threw, and it was the seventh inning. And the lights started going off, and they're like, Pirates win. And, you know, the root for, you know, the whole Pirates bit was going on about, you know, getting a W. And it was only the seventh inning. And we found out then that this game was only supposed to go seven innings.
Yeah.
Don't know why, but was a lot of baseball already. Chandler got the save. So from all the pitchers, for the most part, it was all positive.
Yeah. You know what Mayo told us was that this system is the deepest in terms of arms. It's not something I've really thought about, but tonight really, and after he said that, I think that really solidified it for me. I think we've got to hit on some of these arms, you know, as many of them as possible. We've got to hit. I know we don't have a great track record in developing arms, homegrown talent, like Mitch Keller is the last one. And we've had guys that come up through the system and just don't pan out. There's got to be a few of these guys that make it to Pittsburgh and you know, are the next generation of Pirates pitchers.
Really, really promising. A lot of flamethrowers, a lot of guys that are going to punch tickets. A lot of good position players.
Oh, yeah.
As well. They're deep in the farm system with arms, but there are some guys out in the field that looked pretty good today. We'll start with one third-round pick from Oregon State, Garrett Forster. Looks super comfortable at the plate.
Yeah, man. He's got quite the approach.
He looks like a vet when it comes to taking pitches and working counts. Just to give you a little bit of a sample size, he only had 29 plate appearances last year. He reached base in 16 of those plate appearances. Ooh, and 10 of them were walks.
I just thought of a comp for him in terms of...
Ooh, I'm excited. Let's
hear
it.
Style play. Joey Votto.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Interesting. First baseman, too.
First baseman who played the position well and had great play discipline. So
quite the comp. Yeah, he looks really good. We didn't get to see him put bat to ball much today, but drew two walks. Could be an interesting guy this upcoming year when he gets a little bit more of a sample size. If that on base percentage stays up, pretty interesting name to keep an eye on.
Yeah, he's going to run high OBPs. They had him playing at third last year, so he's got some ability to play elsewhere, but I think first base is his home because I think he's going to play it at an above average rate. You know, it's easy to see guys in the minors like get up to the plate and like kind of look like antsy and just like want to swing at anything. But man, he looks locked in up there. Like he's not swinging at a bad pitch.
Speaking advanced. Of locked in, yeah. Yeah, he's very advanced, but when we're talking locked in, we're talking Jace Bowen.
Oh, I've become a huge Jace Bowen fan over the last couple of weeks.
11th round pick in 2019 from high school in Toledo, Ohio, out of all places. Didn't know they made any athletes in Ohio. Three really hard hit balls today. Nearly went oppo in the first at bat. It got caught at the wall. Hard ground ball single through the right side. Hard line drive to center field and third at bat. He was just hitting everything.
Ball was jumping off his bat.
Yeah.
Jumping off his bat. It was noticeable. Like he was very impressive.
Early in counts too. I mean, he just was up there ready to hit.
Yeah.
He's
an exciting, I think he's a really exciting prospect that has a, you know, everyone dreams on the power speed combination. I know there's a little, some swing and miss here, but he has a profile that could be really exciting at the next level.
We're big dreamers here at Bucko Banner.
I've been saying dream on a lot, man.
We've been dreaming. This is a guy you could dream on.
this is my quote.
Love it. But he could play the corners. He could probably play some outfield
and some first base.
Yeah. Really, really interesting to see how he plays out. And he showed out tonight. So good for Jace. Another guy with really good power speed combo that was in this game that we were looking forward to is Lonnie White.
Lonnie White.
We touched on it last week, but the whole thing with Lonnie White is extremely athletic. Was about to go to Penn State. We saved him.
We saved him from the cult.
He's a Pittsburgher, but he cannot stay healthy. Yeah. That's been the knock on him so far.
This is a big year for him.
Big year for him. Yeah, if he could stay healthy. Hard hit line drive to first base in the first inning.
It's hard hit. There's a hard hit line drive to left field.
Left field. And then he K'd in the next two at-bats. So a little bit of a tendency to chase at the plate. Still very raw. I think it's just going to take getting some reps.
Yeah, his last two at-bats where he K'd, he was chasing breaking balls down below the zone. And, he's just raw. He's raw. And he's someone that needs to have a big season, needs to stay healthy. So we'll be watching that for sure. Talk about tools. How about Jack Brannigan? This guy, he was originally a two-way guy, drafted out of Notre Dame, got up to 100 on the mound, and he has some big-time bat speed, taking some explosive hacks at the plate. He's sticking to hitting now. He's playing third base, can play some shortstop too, has a plus-plus arm. He drove a ball deep into the gap for an RBI that looked like he half swung on it. And he got it good. I mean, he hit it hard. Pretty impressive.
Yeah, it flew off the bat. And side note, when you told me he threw 100, I mean, there's not many guys that throw 100 off the mound, and then you're like, hey, maybe you should be a position player.
Exactly.
So the talent is there for this guy. He had an exceptional day in the field. Incredible double play.
Yeah.
Leaped over his head on a line drive, doubled the guy up at first base, and had another one charging in on a pretty choppy, slow roller. Picked it up easily, fired him out at first. Makes the hard plays look routine.
Yeah, absolutely. He's going to be a plus glove that it's just going to be up to – it's going to be – his development's going to be solely on his bat, right? Is he going to make enough contact to profile to the next level? We'll see. I think he'll probably start the season in Greensboro maybe. And we'll see where he goes.
It'll be interesting. Greensboro is definitely a hitter's park.
Yeah. That's what I've heard.
Yeah. They say take the numbers there with a grain of salt because the ball seems to fly.
Interesting. But
yeah, if the swing and miss starts going down and he maybe makes a little bit more contact, or in the alternative, if he's really just, you know, hitting the deep ball often, a guy that can play multiple positions that well, you're going to find a spot for him.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm excited for Jack. On to King Slime, Tamar Johnson. He had an infield single today. You know, did all right. He's been playing well in our big league games. Maybe looked a little bit off balance at the plate at times.
I think Tamar is probably going to get the boot this upcoming week to minor league camp.
Yeah, I think so too.
Which is not, I mean, that's expected. I mean, that was going to come eventually, but, and it's impressive that he stayed around this long. He's played extremely well. Takes just absolutely massive hacks. I mean, we know that the swing is violent, and when he connects, the ball goes a mile. Looked a little bit off balance today. I haven't seen him do this before. Maybe I haven't watched enough at bats of Tamar where he's poking singles or hitting doubles. You know, you always see just the highlights of him hitting the ball 450 feet. Was kind of like running out of the box while he was swinging.
Yeah, no, I've never seen him do that before.
In the infield single that he had, they had the shift on him, and he's kind of moving out of the box, got it at the end of the bat to third base. It was too late to get him at first. Got on, contributed to a good first inning, but just really didn't have the best approach today for a guy that we've preached has a really good approach for a 19-year-old. He did have one really good at bat, though, that did not result in a positive outcome, but he was down 0-2, worked it to 3-2, popped up to the catcher, but nevertheless, a very solid at bat where he worked the count. Just didn't look very comfortable today, but you could tell he loves playing baseball.
Yeah.
And there's not many people at LECOM. You can kind of hear what's going on in the field. We were pretty close. You could hear him chatting it up at second base, yelling, you know, he's in the game.
Can you imagine a team at PNC Park with Tamar Johnson, Paul Skeens, Jared Jones, Henry Dave, like the intensity that these guys are going to bring? It's going to be exciting.
It's really, really exciting. These guys love baseball, and I think more importantly, they're bought in. Like what you said about Skeens earlier, I think that's the mentality around the organization, at least with the players right now.
Yeah.
Hey, you might not believe in us, but we know what we have here, and we know we are very good. And watch out, because it's coming.
Yeah. No, it's exciting. It's exciting. We got two more guys to cover here. Let's talk about Mitch Jebb real quick. He didn't make a ton of wasn't really making a lot of hard contact until his last at bat. You know, he smoked a sac fly to center field. We thought it was going to get over the center field's head at one point. But yeah, he's got this unorthodox swing and batting stance, and it's just kind of like a leadoff hitting slap guy. It's like a slap hitter to me.
Right.
But he did get all of that one pitch. So interesting prospect, I guess.
Yeah, we talked about him last week, very unorthodox. Don't believe he played the field today.
No, I don't think so.
DH at the end of the lineup. So
that's the big question. Where does he end? Where does he fit defensively?
Yeah. So it doesn't help that we didn't get to see that. But did get a nice at bat. Like you said, I thought it was going to get over the center fielder's head. He didn't take a great route to the ball as it was. It's what outfielders like to call an oh shit ball, where you take two steps in and you go, oh shit. Then you had to go over your head. And the outfielder made a nice adjustment, but we'll,
Enrique, we'll see on Mitch. Enrique Bradfield, great center fielder. So he can get away with stuff like that. Not many can.
His speed is unmatched.
Yeah.
We saw that on display today, but a couple other names that we want to mention. Tony Blanco Jr. entered the game to play first base. This guy is an offensive lineman.
He's a massive human being. I can't believe, I think he's definitely still a teenager. He was just signed out of Dominican like last year. He's like 6'7". He's got to be like 250 or something like that.
He is so large.
Yeah.
He's 6'6", 243.
Was close. Yeah, he's huge.
He is really, really big. Was he in Bradenton last year, or was he with
No, still I think with he rookie? Was. I think he was in the Dominican.
Yeah, he's an exciting name to watch out for. Had a hard hit single through the right side in his only at bat, and then he was immediately taken out of the game for a pinch runner. So real small sample size that we saw for Tony Blanco today. Another name that started the game and played shortstop, Sung Se Chang, was also there today, and he had some solid at-bats. Drew a walk in the first inning, and I believe he scored in the first inning. So
yeah,
we like Chang. He had a solid day. Didn't really have much hit to him at shortstop. I wanted to see more of him in the field, but I think that's another guy that's going to be booted out of major league camp fairly soon, again, to be expected, but really, really promising stuff from him and Tamar.
Yeah. And then, you know, one last guy I want to mention is catcher. We had Abraham Gutierrez start the game, but Omar Alfonso
Yeah.
Came in after him and he struck a ball to the warning track and his one at bat that was hit pretty hard. It's pretty impressive. Don't know much about him as a prospect, but good AB for him there at the end of the game.
Overall, a really, really exciting day.
Yeah.
I'm surprised it took Major League Baseball this long.
Oh, my God.
It seems like such a simple idea that everybody can get behind. I hope next year there's a little bit more of a production behind it.
Yeah.
Same. Like maybe it's a Saturday night game.
Yeah.
Maybe it's the only game played on that day.
Well, come on. MLB is really good at scheduling, like broadcasting their talent. Come on now.
I think the one issue was it wasn't a packed stadium.
No.
I think we were both expecting, like, we were at the 3 o'clock game. They said, you know, if you have a 3 o'clock ticket, it's a 7 o'clock ticket. If you leave, you got to buy another ticket. So the people that stuck around, I think, from the 3 o'clock game were the only ones left. I don't think there was much entry for just the prospect game.
No.
On a Thursday night. So maybe a little bit more production. It was aired on MLB Network, but there really wasn't, you know, a setup for MLB Network. We kind of expected there to be a little bit more of that. But nevertheless, a really fun game to watch. A lot of these names we're going to see this year on both sides of the ball with the Orioles and the Pirates. And can't wait to go to the next one.
Yeah, man. I can't wait. It was a great event. And I'm excited to watch some of the others, you know, that are coming up. I think the Pirates have one more, too. So definitely a good idea by MLB. We'll see what they make of it going forward.
Really, really good stuff. So let's get out of here, Scott. It's midnight.
Yeah. Amen to that.
I'm really hyped up on caffeine and Paul Skeens, but
I don't know if I'm caffeinated or sleepy at this point.
I'm pretty delusional.
I am going to have dreams of Paul Skeens tonight, but that's another story. we'll be back tomorrow. And we're going up to Tampa to Steinbrenner Field. The Pirates are playing a night game there. So we're going to try to get up there early as possible. And we'll definitely come back for a short episode tomorrow recapping that game. So,
right.
Cool.
Raise it. Intro music by Jordan Montgomery, CEO of Driving While Black Records. The song is Arnold Palmer off his latest album, Prime Real Estate.
Rockin' 101, she compliment my taste. Whiskey in my lemonade, cause I like the way it tastes. Best seats at the Pirates game, they let me run the base. Yeah, my time is like my money, cause I can't afford to waste. Wifey is a lawyer, take my date to my dates. Order steak by the plates, and then case after case. Run my race at my pace, clear the grass of the snakes.